A man on the street 50 years later told me that the theme song of the 1914 Kentucky Gospel Meetings was "Oh Blessed Gospel Sound." We've heard about the gospel bells in the prayer room. And it's the same message, the gospel bells, the gospel sound. And you'll find this numbered 15 on the third page. Oh, blessed gospel sound, yeah, there. For you who have put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness, you are greeted with these words: grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. We as brethren stand in that relationship together, our sins being forgiven, having become the children of God through faith in Christ. We're ready for heaven. And it's all right if we're left here yet a little while. I greet you in the name of Christ, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. For you who do not have this knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord within your soul, I greet you in Adam, for you have the same nature in Adam that is mine. It may be stronger in you, for there are surges of nature in younger years. Perhaps it's weaker when you're 80, but I've got it. And you'll allow me to claim kin with you in Adam. But that doesn't last. We'll have to leave someday. Man is not constituted to live forever on the earth because sin came in and spoiled it all. But there's something richer and better. Now, every jail, all hospitals, and each funeral home testifies to the fact that sin has wrought havoc in this world. You may not think of being in jail. You could be, because you have a sinful nature. If it came out in practice, you would be arrested and taken into custody and incarcerated, put in jail. Someday you'll have an ailment and you'll be going in the ambulance to the hospital. And the doctor with his doses and the nurses with their needles will be working on you to bring back restoration of life, which is a good thing. We're thankful for it and the skills that are available for our blessing in that way, since we're sharing the ruin of the race. And someday, if you stay here long enough, the phone will ring and a black vehicle will come and you'll be taken away to the undertaker. The body is dead. The body without the spirit is dead. You can't leave it in the house. You've got to arrange for burial. The soul is the most important thing. To lose your wealth is much. To lose your health is more. To lose your soul is such a loss that none can restore. All of you young people look so nice. You must be Christians. But if I had a handful of cards, 3 by 5, and stenciled on these cards were 2 words, some of them saint, and other cards sinner. And coming around, which would be yours? You have sinned too. A pleasure-loving celebrity, a beautiful woman, who was bent on having the pleasures of sin for a season, was disturbed by a heavy dream. She admired that beautiful gown so much that in her sleep she dreamed about it. And she saw that gown with cards pinned all over from the top to the bottom, which was a registry of the sins that she had committed. Date and place and name. Our sins are many. Simon spoke to the Lord and said, her sins are many. Yours are too. We don't count all of our sins. And you may not have that beautiful gown to wear, but you have some nice clothes. What about those shoes you wear and they took you to the wrong place? What about that fuss you raised when Mama didn't buy the right dress? This is a resistance to the order of God. Those are sins. What about the bad words you said? At the age of 10, 70 years ago, my confession was made of Christ. It's not regrettable. It's wonderful. But there was a time when bad words came out, and there was uneasiness. But the Word gave me to know that my history ended in Adam at the cross. Not only had Christ died for my sins, but my old man was crucified with him. We're in a world where man seeks pleasure. Fun world. Two words for Florida. Sun and fun. You won't raise any objection to my coining of those two words, will you? Because it's true. You go to Florida to get the sun, and so many come to Florida to have fun. And that extends the world over, Kentucky too, because we've sinned and come short of the glory of God in Kentucky. It's not a paradise. It's not like the Garden of Eden. There's where man failed. The woman failed. But oh, a rich, wonderful promise came out of that failure. Because the seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head. Although the serpent would bruise his heel. And we come to the time when it's recorded in the Word, thou shalt call his name Jesus, Savior. It means, for he would save his people from their sins. And also, they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. He's been here. You should be glad that you are here tonight under the sound of the wonderful message that God has given to us. Oh, blessed sound. Now, we are unable to do anything about the condition that we're in. Some go about to establish their own righteousness. But that's a vain thing. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy has saved us. But there's a good report. It didn't come from the newspaper. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, thank God for his abounding grace, made known to us in the gift that of that holy child. In Matthew's gospel, we have three times, "Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Animals' sacrifices served their purpose for a time, but Christ had come. And since it's three times in Matthew, we'll say it twice more. "Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." God doesn't want your religion. He says, "Young man, give me thine heart." Young lady too. "Go ye and learn what that meaneth. I will have mercy and not sacrifice." Let's go back a little. Genesis 1. Verse 8. Here we have the record of creation. And at the end of each day's work, we have a pronouncement that it's good, except in this verse. "And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day." There's an omission. He didn't call it good. It's not God's desire that heaven and earth should be divided or separated. And the firmament, the expanse of atmosphere, is spoken of as the realm of the prince of the air, the devil. This record of creation in Genesis is solid. The worlds were framed by the Word of God. We need not reason about it. It's true. And it should never be left out. Hold it firmly. And the virgin birth is necessary. Those two ordinary men that were dying on the cross served no purpose. Their blood wouldn't cleanse away sins for others. They were paying the penalty of what they had done. But only the precious blood of Christ could take away sins. So the virgin birth is an absolute necessity. I believe it. I preach it. You ought to believe it too. "Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." One of the purposes of our blessed Lord is referred to, perhaps, the principal one in the chapter that we were considering. "He also himself likewise took part of the same flesh," he took part of, "that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil." This tells us about a victory that Christ has won for you. And we can be more than victors because we didn't fight the battle. He did the work of redemption, and he shares it with us. more than conquerors through him that loved us. Now the devil is still active. He's not really destroyed, but his power is broken. He was defeated at the cross. And the believer today can lie down in peace on his pillow and rest in the Lord, being confident if he should be taken away in the night time, he would be absent from the body, present with the Lord. And in the same epistle, chapter 10, with two verses to which you need not turn unless you wish. Verse 12, but this man, there's a reference made to all those animal sacrifices that had been done before, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins, forever set down on the right hand of God. That brings before us the finished work of Christ. The work is done, it's finished, it's complete. It's all sufficient. He was delivered for our offenses. He was raised again for our justification. He walked about 40 days giving infallible proofs of his resurrection. And one day he led his disciples out to Bethany, lifted up his hands and left them in blessing, and went through the clouds. He's up there for us. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Oh, the perfect work of Christ. But think of the cost. Oh, Lord, what a load was thine to bear alone in that dark hour. Our sins and all of their terror there. God's wrath and Satan's power. But he bore it all. He cried with a loud voice at the end. And gave up the ghost. And after saying it's finished, he said, Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit. Now we've had something about your condition as a sinner. This has got rollers on it. Excuse me for a habit of leaning. But that habit's all right if you lean on the Lord. We've spoken about man's state, the awful condition of this world, and our need. Are you a sinner or a saint? Have you come to Jesus? That woman from the street came into Simon's house. He's the Pharisee. He condemned her. But she brought her tears and washed the feet of the Savior. She brought that box of costly ointment and anointed him. And she was responding. But Jesus hadn't said to her yet, thy sins are forgiven. Maybe you are responding. You're going along nicely with all these believers here that are having such a happy time together. But has Jesus said to you, have you been in his presence about your sins? He said to me, thy sins are forgiven. Then he said, go in peace, thy faith has saved thee. Cornelius was moving rightly in the 10th of Acts, devout man, praying with his household, giving alms to the people. But he was instructed to send to Joppa and to get Peter to come and tell him words whereby he would be saved. And he heard those words. He believed them. And the Spirit of God acted in blessing. And they came into the good of the fellowship of the Spirit that we have from above, the gift of the Holy Spirit. There are two powers at work in this world. There is the work of the enemy of our souls that would have you neglect so great salvation. And there is the work of the Spirit of God that would woo you, that would urge you, that would press upon you the importance of believing in Jesus as your own personal Savior. Now we'll turn to Romans 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle or an apostle by calling, separated unto the gospel of God. God has a message for you. To God we are responsible because He made us. In Him we live and move and have our being. He gave us our place here on this earth. That part of the world that has the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You're so favored, my young friend in Adam, because your lot is in this land that has been advanced in the best civilization that the world has ever known. You're not in the dark part of the earth where people are steeped in idolatry, but you are in danger here just as well, because there's so much religion without reality. You need to have a dealing with the Lord. You need to have repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. The gospel of God. Oh, this is a message from heaven. Nothing like this comes out of Washington, D.C. It didn't originate in London. It didn't even come from Jerusalem. It came from heaven. Heaven is interested in you. He didn't say it was good for you to be left here on the earth. He wants you in heaven. And this was promised afore in the prophets, in the Holy Scriptures, this message of God's love to man. We find it all the way through. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. According to the Scriptures means that you find it in Exodus 12, in Genesis 3, in Genesis 22, in Isaiah 53. You find it in that scarlet cord that hung from the window of Rahab the harlot. Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and He rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. And the message is concerning His Son, Christ our Lord. You could have no better message, for it is linked with Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and His lineage is traced in that seed of David. You find it in the first chapter of Matthew. And we could insert a digression at this point. You heard about the baby with the baboon heart. 1 Corinthians 15:39, all flesh is not the same flesh. There's one kind of flesh of men. Another kind of beasts, another of fishes, another of birds. Now some minor part might work in the human being, but you can't expect a blend of animal flesh with human flesh. Old Brother Otto in the mountains of North Carolina said to me one day at a burial, when a pet dog dies, we bury it and expect nothing. When we come to laying away the remains of a loved one, he said, as Paul says, it is sown. When you sow something, you expect something in return. All flesh is not the same flesh. And this flesh that we're in is subject to resurrection. And our Lord has secured that favor for us. For it goes on to say, not only was he the seed of David according to the flesh, but declared to be the Son of God with power. Now this goes beyond Nathanael's declaration of the fact that he's the Son of God. This was the proof. Declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. What was the Spirit of holiness? We don't have it except being born again. He had it. There was never a thought, nor a word, nor a deed that was out of place in that Blessed One. There was not anything that the Spirit of God could not fully sanction. So He was a suitable sacrifice for sin. And He's declared to be the Son of God with power by resurrection from the dead. And mind you, He's able to raise others. There's a little maid 12 years old, and he was besought, and he came, delayed he was. The woman got blessing as he came along. But he went in with three disciples, the father and the mother. He took her by the hand and said, "Maid, arise." He said, give her something for nourishment. In the city of Nain, they were on the way out to the cemetery with the man in a casket, who was the son of an only widow, the only son of a widow. And the record suggests Armistead Berry told me that evidently Jesus had walked overnight in order to be in the city of Nain to arrest that funeral procession, to the sorrowing mother, he said, weep not. Touching the bier that contained the body of her son, young man, I say unto thee, arise. She was given back. He was given back to his mother. And on another occasion, Mary and Martha were weeping, and they were puzzled as to why he had not come when they needed him, for Lazarus had died. And coming, they inform him that he's been dead 4 days already, and the tomb can't be opened. Jesus wept. There, as he surveyed the ruin that had come upon the human race through sin, he felt it, he suffered, he wept. Coming to the place where they had laid him, he said, Lazarus, come forth. He did. But our Lord himself went into death. He didn't reach out in that occasion to pull others back into this life. In contemplation of that, he said, I have power to lay it down. I have power to take it up again. This commandment have I received of my Father. You know, he was speaking one day and he said, destroy this temple and I'll raise it up in 3 days. They thought he was talking about that 46-year structure. He was referring to his body. I'll raise it up. In Romans 8, he's quickened by the Spirit. In Romans 6, he's raised from the dead by the glory of the Father. And what can be better proven than that when all the Trinity is involved? Father, Son, and Holy Spirit operating in the resurrection of Christ. He's risen. He's alive forevermore. He became dead, but he lives. He has the keys of death and hell, or hell and death. He has control over all mankind. Over death, the body's taken and put away in the grave. Over the souls there in the unseen world. He has power over the bodies and souls of all mankind. Now, we must come to a point, a pressure point. And for that procedure, would you turn with me to John 16? John 16. In the verse 7, I will send him unto you, and when he's come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. Of sin because they believe not on me, of righteousness because I go to my Father and you see me no more, of judgment because the prince of this world is judged. He was rejected. He was cast out. And that's the reason he sent the Holy Spirit. We know the Father sent the Holy Spirit too. But the Holy Spirit was sent by the Son also. And he was sent for the purpose of reproving the world of sin because it had rejected him. And you'll find out that you're rejecting Christ too if you don't believe. There was an elderly sister in the nursing home, and it's my privilege to visit her. And when we were talking about the cross, she volunteered with this information. I was there. I helped drive the nails into his hands. I helped put him on the cross. Never did one say that to me before. But it was real to her. And can we not say that we were there too? As face answers to face in water, so the heart of man to man. If not there in actual person, of course we weren't there in actual person, but the same flesh was there that is in me today. We rejected Christ. Oh, there were the few around that believed. John stood close in. But the disciples had forsook him and fled. One had denied him. Another sold him. Jesus bore it all. Now of righteousness, because I go to the Father. Oh, he had accomplished the work that he came to do. He could go to the Father now and they wouldn't see him anymore for a while. He laid the basis for your blessing. He'd done the work for your salvation so that you don't have to engage in law keeping, trying to improve the flesh. Oh, God has a righteous basis for the saving of your soul. And he wants you to believe in his Son Jesus. That's the only way that you can honor him. Man left God through distrust in him. God wants your confidence to be reinstated. He wants you to come back to faith in Christ. He's done everything he possibly can for you. And will you go to hell, trampling on the precious blood of Christ? Will you go past that cross? Will you leap over those prayers of your father and mother and go down to eternal despair? That's the consequences of sin. And he was to reprove the world of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. Now is the prince of this world judged. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out. That's a statement from the 12th of John. And God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained. whereof he's given assurance unto all men in that he's raised him from the dead. Acts 17. And this brings us to a point. Acts 12:48. No, not Acts 12, John 12:48. He that rejecteth me think of it he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same word shall judge him in the last day. Will you dare to go out of this room rejecting the message of God's grace? Do not run the danger of neglecting so great salvation. For apart from Christ, in Adam, you're a sinner, and you need the cleansing power of the precious blood of Christ. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. But God wants you to come into the good of his love and the provision that he's made for the salvation of your soul by the gift of his Son to die on Calvary's cross. He wants you to do that now. Hebrews 12. Verse 25, we bypass this in the reading. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, you get a description of that terrible scene that came about when the law was given above. Much more, there are five much mores in Romans 5. Much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. You didn't hear a message from Kentucky tonight. You heard a message from heaven. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not coming to judgment. It hangs over your head. But it's passed from death under Adam unto life in Christ. Why not step over? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Turn the hymn sheets back to page 1, so they'll be ready for the stack. And we'll sing number 1. Softly, shall we? Oh.